أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم يعلم بأن الله يرى؟ كلا لنسفعا بالناصية، ناصية كاذبة خاطئة، فليدع نادية، سندع الزبانية. صلوات
Muhammad,
Muhammad. There is a request for the sisters to come a bit forward for the latecomers, that inshallah they don't step on your toes. You don't want anyone hurting you. I don't think it applies to the brothers. Inshallah they should be fine. Alhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wholeheartedly, alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihada wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. May the Almighty God from His bounty, inshallah, include us among those who are mourning and lamenting for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And inshallah, every second, every microsecond of the time that we spend in such holy majalis, inshallah, the Almighty God accept it from us and reserve it for us for the time to come, that no family, friend, wealth, or anything of such will avail us, will help us, other than the piety of the heart. And inshallah, this will be an example of the piety of the heart, attending the majalis of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. The clothing of a person who wants to offer his or her prayers, al-musalli or musalliya, male or female, has to meet certain conditions. One of the condition, basic condition, is that it has to be tahir, and it has to be clean. In other words, no blood or any of the najasas should have touched it. So if my hand is stained with blood and I touch my clothes, then I cannot pray with this clothes. Urine, I cannot pray with this clothes, and so forth. All right, has to be to have to make sure that anything that you wear has to be tahir and clean. Another condition is that anything that you are wearing while you are praying has to be mubah. Mubah, it means that it should be yours, or you should have permission to use it. If, for example, I grab someone's abba, put it on me, and I know that he doesn't like me to wear that abba, I cannot pray with that. This is not becoming mubah for me. In other words, it's not permissible for me to wear it. For that reason, if I have a clothing that I have bought it from a money, that money, for example, not necessarily just hot money as we speak about it, but the money, the income, for example, is definitely haram. Like, for example, is from stealing or gambling or anything as such, that the money, the income is haram. That clothing also is not mine because I purchased it with the haram money. I cannot pray with that clothes. Another condition that is should not be made of the parts of an animal that its meat is not edible. Like, for example, I should not wear a clothing that is made of the skin, which is the leather of, I don't know, any animal, let's say wolf, for example, even a snake, for example, animals that their meat are not edible. In fact, if the animal is not edible, that we cannot eat the meat of the animal, even if it's a slaughter, even the wool, the fur, and like the hair of that animal, we cannot use it. Like, for example, mutton, that animal that has like thick tail, they make some jackets, coat out of it. Because that animal, the meat of that animal is not edible, you cannot use any part of that animal to wear it for your clothing, for your salat. Other than the term of the salat is okay, all right? And it's not najis. But for praying, you cannot use it for prayer. Animals that their meat are edible, like cow, for example, goat, sheep, camel, and things like that, you can use their hair, you can use their wool, you can use, if they have fur, for example, I don't know. These parts are exempt. But again, the leather of that animal, like the leather of a cow, if it's a jacket made of a genuine leather of a made of a cow, and that cow was not Islamically slaughtered, that is called meite, that leather we cannot use it for praying as well. But the hair of cow, the wool of a sheep, for example, is okay. Even the animal is not slaughtered. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Before I embark to the topic, inshallah, for tonight, I appreciate your feedback and your comments. Alhamdulillah, I received one from brothers and one from the sisters. And for that reason, we have made another session, Q&A, before Maghrib for the sisters. And 9 o'clock, inshallah, I will be on time because I have another program that by the time I finish that one, I will come back again here. For Q&A, please, anything comes to your mind, that it's natural that sometimes, you know, I do not deliver what I have in my mind clearly. There could be a misunderstanding or there are some questions around what is delivered. It's very healthy for you to give me your feedback. If any question comes to your mind, please email it to me. You have the email on the screen. Come and see me. We have that Q&A. Don't keep it with you. I don't want to cause any confusion, God forbid, if I have not been clear in my talk. So the question that was raised from the brother and sister was that some people, for example, they stop going to the mosque because he says that I'm going because of my friend. Because my friend goes, I just go with my mate. Therefore, I'm not being sincere. Better not to go to the mosque. Or my son, for example, he prays because of mom or dad, and then he says that, well, if that's the reason, better not to pray. I always say that, why do you take the other side of this? This story has two sides. Always, of course, the best is that you pray, you go to the mosque, anything Islamic, you do it purely for the sake of God. And remember, I mentioned last night, we are talking about Iqra Warqa. We want to elevate our status. For any reason that we don't sin is good. It's better than sinning, no matter what. Even if in respect of people I don't sin, the fact that it's preventing me from sinning is good. But we want to purify our intention, and that's what the discussion was about last night. We want to have a better intention, and the better intention is that I should be shy of the Almighty God rather than just being shy of certain humans. It's always okay to go to the mosque and attend the prayer, but of course, the purer your intention is, the more rewards you get. So why do you stop going to the mosque because of my friend? Say that, all right, I go to the mosque. My friend was an excuse, was the messenger that God sent to me to introduce me to the majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, or to the masjid, or to Salat al-Jum'ah, or things like that. Now, inshallah, I should be able to walk on my own. And I want to purify my intention. I want to elevate my intention. Don't go down, go up. I don't know, Ayatollah Behjat Rahmatullah Alayhi was saying that there is a platform. Some people use the platform to ascend, some use the platform to step down, to jump down. Why do you want to jump down? Okay, you jump up and say that, all right, my friend was a good excuse to introduce me to the Majlis of Imam Hussein. Now I should be able to go myself. It's now my turn to pick up somebody else and bring him to the Majlis. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Don't put me down, please. What was the ayah that we had about last night? Just one short ayah, you had it on the screen. Anyone by chance remembers the ayah? لا حول ولا قوة. Yes? Barakallahu fik. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I'm happy even with one answer. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Thumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now, sisters, brothers, got a score. Tomorrow night, remember, inshallah, you should remember a very simple ayah for tonight, which is in Surah Al-Alaq. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Alam ya'alam bi'anna allaha yara. Do you like to repeat after me? Alam ya'alam bi'anna allaha yara. I wish you memorize this ayah. We all memorize it as you are driving, as you are walking, as you are in your office, at work, uni, wherever you are, lying down in bed, wherever you are in your sahara. I wish we remember this ayah time and again. Alam ya'alam bi'anna allaha yara. Knows he not that Allah does see. And subhanAllah, here the Almighty God doesn't say see what. Does say bi'anna allaha yarahu, for example. Yara, the Almighty God does see, definitely He sees. To make it more inclusive, God sees me, God sees my intention, God sees people around me, God sees everything. So God deliberately does not limit what it is, the object, in other words, technically speaking. God doesn't mention the object to make it inclusive, as inshallah I will explain it. The topic tonight, in continuation of what we were talking about last night, in response to the call of the Almighty God, in response to the call of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, when he says, هَلْ مِن نَاصَرٍ يَنْصُرُنِي, and we believe that Ashura is alive. Ashura is not an event that took place 1400 years ago. Even this year, today, tonight, every now and then, whether you are in Copenhagen or anywhere else, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is calling you. Hal min nasirin yansuruni? Is there anyone to come and help me? So what kind of help can I offer to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein? The help that you can and we can offer to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein is to help the cause for which Abu Abdullah al-Hussein sacrificed his life. And that is to learn about my religion and to practice my religion, in a nutshell. The more you practice your religion, the more you have helped the cause of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. The more I go offshoot and away from my religion, the more I have joined the camp of Yazid. Because this is Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam himself. He says that, you know why I stood against Yazid? Because Yazid rajulun sharibul khumur, mu'linun bil fisq. Yazid, carelessly, he was openly drinking alcohol. Carelessly, openly, he's sinning. And I wanted to revive the tradition of my prophet, and therefore I stood against him. Therefore, a Muslim, a so-called Shia, if God forbid he drinks alcohol, he is Yazidi, not Husseini. He is not helping Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He is not helping the cause of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. A so-called Muslim girl who knows that it's an obligation for her to practice hijab, for example, it's an obligation. This Imam Hussein says that ashhadu, we say ashhadu annaka qad aqamta salat. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam gave his life so that Salat doesn't die. If Salat has died in my house and with my household, I'm not with Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. I'm not responding to the call of Hussein. To get us to the grassroots of the personality of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and how we can better ourselves, how we can be more God-fearing and practice our religion, whether mom and dad observe us, watch us or not, I get up for my prayer, whether my husband or wife, my friend or anyone is around me or not, I don't commit what I call it cyber sin. You know what is cyber sinning? cyber sinning. Deliberately, I want to touch on that and re-emphasize with all respect to you, because unfortunately, this kind of sinning, cyber sinning, that it's a sin committed in front of the like the screen of the our laptop, mobile, iPad, iPod, whatever, is because it's kind of sin that people, they think they can hide it from others. See, a careless kafir, a lost chap, as we say, the lost Danish boy who doesn't believe in God or anything, he doesn't care where he serves on the net, watching all the pornos on the net. Maybe, God knows, and I don't want to be judgmental, maybe even his mom and dad are doing similar work somewhere else. Wallahu alam. But a so-called Muslim Shia who may go to the mosque and in the eyes of people is respected, if Shaitan has manipulated his or her mind and he has become sick internally, he can, well, may God forgive me, let me just put it on myself so that anyone feels offended. I can well cover it up in public, Imam, Sheikh, Mawlana, the respected, everything, and La Samahallah, may God protect us all, privately in my bedroom that no one can see me. God forbid I commit that cyber sin. And I get addicted with that. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And publicly, I look so like goody two shoes, as they say in English. Very sweet, nice person. This is the, we said, how can I get rid of that disease from myself? The topic, inshallah, for tonight and the coming nights, inshallah, hopefully, will provide us a medicine for that. With salawat ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, almost in every page, time and again, repeatedly, he talks about his divine attributes, al-asma wa-sifat al-ilahiyya, the divine attributes, among which one of the divine attributes that so often Quran re-emphasizes on that and brings our attention to that is the divine attribute of knowledge. Sometimes God refers to himself as Alim. And Alim means that the one who is all-knowing, has infinite knowledge. His knowledge is unlimited. Allamul Ghuyub, the one who knows well in details about all the secrets and the hidden things, refers to himself as Shaheed. Inna Allah ala kulli shay'in shaheed. The Almighty God is witnessing over everything. Imam Ali alayhi salam says that imagine this situation, that you know when you have an argument dispute with a police officer, I don't know if it applies here, I'm sure it does. If you get a ticket, you know, from the police officer and you want to challenge that, no, I don't think that I deserve that ticket, speeding ticket or anything, you go to the court and you stand in front of the magistrate to defend your case. Now imagine if you go to the court and the magistrate, that the moment you see the magistrate, you see that, oops, the magistrate himself, he was the eyewitness to the scene. How can I debate against the, you know, how can I defend this case? Imam Ali alayhi salam says that be careful, on the day of judgment, the judge himself is the witness to the scene, and that is the Almighty God. And therefore, there is no way that you can muck around it. There is no way you can cover it up. You can like be fake about it, because in Allah ala kulli shay'in shaheed, God is the witness over everything happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to himself in terms of again expressing his knowledge, even in Ayatul Kursi, wasa'a kursiyuhu samawati wal ard. Scholars they have interpreted the kursi, the chair of God, is an expression for the knowledge of God, that his knowledge is so comprehensive, covers everything and everywhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to himself as al-raqib. Raqib means al-muraqib, yani the one that he's like observing, watching you. Refers to himself as al-latif al-khabir. Wa huwa al-latif al-khabir. Imam Ridha alayhi salam explains one meaning of latif is Latif, the one who sees all, even no matter how tiny, micro, tiny things, God sees and has knowledge about it, detailed knowledge about it. Latif also, it means the one who is not physical and is creator of matter and mind and the spirit, and therefore has knowledge about everything. Latif also means the one who is so caring and compassionate. His lotf, his bounty, his grace, his mercy is inclusive. And therefore, yes, although he's al-khabir, meaning that all-knowing, that khabir, yani the one who gives you khabar, mukhbir, وَيُنَبُّوكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ, God will inform you of all what you had done. But at the same time, because he's latif, he does not disgrace you. He does not make us like embarrassed in front of others. For the time being, God conceals, because his ilm is associated with al-hilm, with his forbearance. In Irfan, in the Islamic mysticism, Urafa, they are talking about one of the very profound discussions, by the way, in the theoretical Islamic mysticism, is about Asma'ullah, the discussions about divine names. And Urafa, like Ibn Arabi, they say that they have an expression about Nikahul Asma. Nikahul Asma means, this of course we are not talking literally, about association of certain names. With this code I give you, you read the Quran, you see how many examples, how often you come across this. Very often when God talks about himself, he introduces himself with two names. Like here, وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. There is a reason for that. Like here, God is all-knowing, but at the same time, because he's all-compassionate and all-caring, he doesn't disgrace us immediately. He give us respite, he give us a chance to go back, as I explained it, the reason for that. Talking about the divine names and attributes, as I said, this has been long discussion in the Islamic theology, theosophy, philosophy, Irfan, all have been talking about divine attributes. Some of them, because they slip from the path, they did not follow the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, some scholars historically, they have gone astray. For example, famous opinion that from the riwayat we can tell that this opinion was quite prevailed at the time of Imam al-Baqir and Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, that Mu'tazili, they believe that knowledge and God's knowledge is a relative concept. I explained to you. Relative concept, it may apply to us, but the mistake they made, they applied it even to God. That means that God only knows about things that exist, because you and I can only have knowledge about things that exist and we come across them. Unless I had seen a tree outside and I had visualized it in my mind, I had no knowledge about it. Correct or not? All right. Unless you have seen me and I have seen you and we have visualized each other, we have no knowledge about each other. So knowledge is, yes, a relative concept for us. They say maqulun bil idafa in Arabic. Because unless there is a ma'loom, there is a known object, there is no alim, there is no one to know about that. The mistake is that they apply that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, like in philosophy, they say phoenix. I don't know if you're familiar with this bird, a legendary bird in Greek mythology. Phoenix, they say that it was a in Arabic, they call it anqa. In Farsi, they call it simurg. They say it's a bird, a legendary bird, that it's like regenerating itself, never dies. There is no such bird. That's only a legend, that's a myth, all right? You cannot really have knowledge about that bird, because that bird doesn't exist in the real world. It only exists in your mind. So it's your assumption, it's your imagination. There is no real ma'alum, there is no real object out there. For that reason, they thought that God doesn't know about the future. Look at where it gets. Because future doesn't exist yet. Huh? Future doesn't exist yet. Like this brother, how old are you? You're not 50 yet. At your 50, you have not existed yet. Therefore, God doesn't know about you at the age of 50. Therefore, God doesn't know what you'll be doing at the age of 50, because that has not come to existence yet. La hawl, this is the mistake they made. Companions of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they used to come to Imam Baqir, Imam Sadiq, even to the time of Imam Rida alayhi salam, asking them, is this true? And the imams have been so explicitly against them. They said, what are you talking about? The Almighty God, عالمٌ إذ لا معلوم, خالقٌ إذ لا مخلوق, ربٌ إذ لا مربوب. Yani God knows even before the known object comes to existence. God is the cherisher, the provider, Rab, before even any cherishing person or object exists. God is Khaliq before any makhluq exists. Why? What does it? How can you reconcile this? If something still doesn't exist, how can someone, even God, knows about it? Simple. At least for us to sort of imagine it. Imagine. If you get out of the timeline, step out of the timeline, imagine the whole, this world of universe like a ball, and you step out of that ball, you look inside the ball. And inside that ball, you see the planet Earth, you zoom in and zoom in more, and you see Earth, you see Copenhagen in 2014, 2015, to the end of the world life, because you are out of timeline. There is no past, present, future anymore for you. By the way, those who die and go to Barzakh, they step out of timeline as well. Because timeline exists in this world of matter. I hope I'm not getting too philosophical tonight. This timeline, space and time are the characteristics of the physical world. Once you step out of it, no longer past, present, future exists. And hence those who are in Barzakh, they can see about your future, my future as well. We call it future. For them who are out of this timeline, there is no future. Everything is present. Allah. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his mi'raj, in his ascension, he stepped out of the timeline and therefore he saw the future. SubhanAllah, the details of hell and heaven that are yet to happen, God, the Prophet had seen them because he stepped out of timeline. Ahlul Bayt, anyone who has knowledge about the future, so-called future for us is future, are those who are by the grace of God are able to step out of timeline and they can see. And therefore Imam Ali alayhi salam says that I can see until the day of judgment. Ask me and I answer you. Because I'm out of timeline. My soul is out of timeline. Now, if it's possible for a human that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَىٰ غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا إِلَّا مَنِ ارْتَضَىٰ مِنْ رَسُولِ, it's not possible for God? Astaghfirullah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knowledge, number one, is very inclusive. Tafsili. It's not that he has a general knowledge. The knowledge of God is the knowledge by presence. Again, thank you for your attention and patience. Let me explain this quickly. In philosophy, we say there are two types of knowledge that man can even acquire. One is ilm al-husuli, one is ilm al-huduri. Ilm al-husuli is the knowledge, acquired knowledge, like the one that I told you that now I see you, I close my eyes, I have visualized you. The image of this person, the image of this camera, this microphone comes to my mind, I have knowledge about it. I have acquired that knowledge. Acquired knowledge is possible to transfer it to others, to teach others about it. There is a second type of knowledge that is ilm al-huduri, that is knowledge by presence. Like the knowledge that you have about yourself. One of the Muslim urafa has a good example. He says that somebody had a toothache, went to the dentist and said, Ya Hakim, I am dying, I've got a toothache, I'm so much in pain. He said, don't worry, that's only a wind. He said, Ya Hakim, for you it's a wind, for me it's a pain. The pain that when you, God forbid, you have a toothache, you feel, this is knowledge by presence. It's a knowledge, you experience it. The dream that you have is knowledge by presence, you experience. It's possible, it's very difficult to explain it to others. When it comes to God, the knowledge of God about His creation is knowledge by presence. So we are not talking about two entities, God versus His creation, that God has to see the creation, visualize it, and then knows about it. Because the whole creation is in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So God's knowledge about His creation in all aspects of it is knowledge by presence. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
I think it's enough getting philosophical tonight. Let me just share with you the application of what I'm talking about. The reason that God in the Quran talks about His knowledge in all aspects of it is because of the applications that matter to us, and we need to take it home with us, inshallah. One of them is this ayah. One benefit of knowing and believing in divine knowledge is that it should make a change in my lifestyle in terms of disobeying Him. That's the first foremost thing. See, unfortunately, let's be frank, we have experiences. We are talking about someone, and all of a sudden that guy steps into the room. Oops, immediately we change this conversation because we don't want him to know about it. Before he was absent, now he's present. We are embarrassed of his presence to talk against him. In other words, to say something that he doesn't like. In other words, to disobey him if you like it. Isn't it? Now, question. If I really, truly believe in God, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I really, truly believe in God, and I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowledge is like this, that there is no past, present, future, as we said. There is no secret or public for God. Quran says that يَعْلَمُ السَّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. God knows the secret, and that is more secret. Akhfa is more secret. What is more secret? They ask the imams, and the imams, they say that more secret, it means that you did something secretly and then you forgot about it. But God doesn't forget about it. This is the creator we are talking about. No matter how much I conceal it, impossible to conceal it from God. If I don't have this belief, I'm not a Muslim. So theoretically, I think we all agree on this argument that God's knowledge is not limited, unlimited and infinite. And therefore, impossible for me to even hide my intention from Him, let alone my action. If that's the case, and yet still in a room that no human is around, I am sinning any kind of sin, let's go back to ourselves. Individuals can judge on themselves. Either I am ignoring the existence of God or I don't believe in God. You tell me, what's the difference between that lost chap, kafir, non-Muslim, atheist boy who is browsing on the net and watching all the haram scenes, and this so-called Muslim Shia who prays and fasts supposedly? In practice, what's the difference? That's why last night I read that ayah, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. God says, don't come to me on the day of judgment and say, God, I believe in you. God says that, no, you didn't believe in me in practice. You gave me a lip service. Yes, you got up and prayed. And you said, astaghfirullah. But then again, when you went back to your laptop, you repeated what you were doing. When you were alone in your bedroom, in bed, you repeated what you used to do. That means, so in practice, I show you your file, and I show you the file of this lost kafir. In practice, do you see any difference? If there's no difference, so how can you say you believe in me? You didn't believe in me. Ishaq ibn Ammar came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam on this issue, and Imam advises him, says, Ya Ishaq, خَفِ اللَّهِ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهِ. Fear Allah, fear God's punishment as if you see Him. فَإِنَّكَ إِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. If you don't see Him, surely He sees you. The ayah that I'm sharing with you on the screen, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Brothers, sisters, this is in English, we call it rhetorical question. Rhetorical question is not a real question. God is not asking a real question here. Rhetorical question is just that, like say, it's night, isn't it? Yes, of course. The answer immediately is yes, of course. Huh? It's night time now. So when you say, is it night? It's just to bring your attention to an obvious. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Knows he not that God does see? The answer is, yes, of course. Because God is talking to you and I. Then Quran continues. I didn't have the rest of the ayat for you on the screen. Let me share the rest of it. Quran says, كَلَّا. Nay. It's not how you assume that you think you're covering it up. Nay, كَلَّا لَنَسْفَعًا بِالنَّاسِيَةِ. Surely, undoubtedly, we will seize him by his forelock. It's an expression when they wanted to grab like a criminal, you know, by his or her hair, pull him, pull her to hell. لَنَسْفَعًا بِالنَّاسِيَةِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but who? نَاسِيَةٍ كَاذِبَةٍ خَاطِئَةٍ. The full luck of a lying, a sinful person. A lying person. He thinks that he can lie to us as well. He lies to his wife. He lies to his, she lies to her husband, parents, children. And they think that they can lie to God as well. نَاسِبَةٍ كَاذِبَةٍ خَاطِئَةٍ. Then God says, okay, now I put you on a challenge. I dare you. Go and get all your gangs that you think that you had your gang and you're a very strong man. Sanad فَلْيَدْعُ نَادِيَ. Nadi is the club. It's an expression for his body, his gangs. Let him call all his gangs. God says that, and I also have my own guards, not gangs. سَنَدْعُ الزَّبَانِيَ. Zabaniya are the guards in charge of hell. A man came to Imam Musa, young man, full of lust and desire, that untamed lust and desire, came to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, says, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, I'm young, full of desire, and all these girls on the street, you know, they are disturbing us the way that they are dressed. Is there any close exception for the young men like to do something that every law there is an exception? The Imam says that yes, there is an exception, but conditions apply. Have you seen commercials? They put a commercial, big phone, and underneath of it with small phones, conditions apply. This is the catch. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says conditions apply. What are the conditions? Fine, by all means, I meet the conditions. I wonder if you meet. First condition, God says that لا تأكل من رزق الله وأذنب ما شئت. Don't sit around my tablecloth. Don't eat from my food that I provide, and then go and do as you wish. Yani, in Arabic we say يَشْرِبُونَ مِنْ كَأْسَنَا وَيَبْصَقُونَ. You can just drink from the glass provided to you and then you break it. That's not fine. Second, Imam Hussein alayhi salam says that وَخْرُجْ مِنْ وِلَايَةِ اللَّهِ وَأَذْنِبْ مَا شَئْتْ. Get your girlfriend, go somewhere out of my country, out of my territory, says the Lord, the Almighty God, and do as you wish. Go somewhere secret that God cannot see you, and it doesn't belong to my territory. You don't have to be Danish. If you want to live in Denmark, the authorities, they say you have to comply with the laws of the land. If you want to live in this country, you have to comply with the law of the land. Now you tell me, if humans, they have this law, in your common sense, God doesn't have this law? God says, you want to live in my land, you have to abide by the laws of the land. This is the law of the land. No, sorry, adultery is not allowed. Even if you commit adultery with your eyes, it's not allowed. Imam Hussein alayhi salam continues and says that also, when the angel of death comes to catch you, he said, don't touch me. You see, some girls, unfortunately, with all respect, you tell them that, sister, why do you dress like this? It's my body. No one's business. It's my body. I like to cover it. I like it or I don't cover it. Are you sure it's your body? If it's your body, my friend, then when the virus comes to touch your body, don't tell the virus, don't touch me. Don't come near me. Allahu Akbar. A virus that you cannot see it unless under the microscope easily comes to your body and, God forbid, knocks you down. God forbid, may take your life, let alone angel of death. So if you are so vulnerable, so poor, so weak, why do you say these things? Why do you dare and challenge God? It's my body. It's not your body. You are entrusted with. Better be a humble, obedient servant of God. And then that Sanad al-Zabaniyah comes. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says that in the hereafter, also when they want to grab your full lock and throw you to hellfire because of your sins, say, don't touch me. You can't. Therefore, my friend, behave. It's better to be more pious. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. Wow, wow, wow. Ya Rab, bless us to remember this ayat. These are adhkar. Some brothers, they say, give us some zikr. These are adhkar that daily we need to repeat it, remind ourselves. Believe me, it helps. Second benefit, subhanAllah, second benefit of believing in the presence of God and knowledge of God is that it makes you so generous. It makes it so easy to give for the sake of God. Because you like to show off. And you say that instead of showing off in front of others, isn't it better, as Ayatollah Behjat was saying, that show off to God. Because God is watching you. Anytime you want to pray, in terms of your qira'ah, in terms of how humble you become, show off to God. This riya is definitely ikhlas, if it's to God. If you want to show off to God, showing off to God is ikhlas. Some people, they come and say that, Shaykh, I've got this problem of riya, especially when I go to the mosque, I don't know whether I'm going for the sake of God, I'm praying for the sake of God, especially when we are leading the prayer. The treatment to that is that you show off to God. More important than anyone else, isn't it better? And this is ikhlas. You've met the condition. Easy. Quran says, وَمَا تُنْفِغُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. Any penny you give, God knows about it. وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُهُ. Whatever you have given for the sake of God, God will replace it. Don't ever think that this $1 is, you know, now there's less dollar in my wallet. No, God replaces it. Because he is watching you, he knows about it. He will give it back to you. Qarḍul Hasana means that you have given a godly loan for the sake of God. Is it possible that you give a loan to God and God doesn't give you back? Ajib. Is it possible? Impossible. You become more generous. Third, and my time is running short, inshallah, quickly I conclude with this. Third is that those who really believe in the presence of God at all time, they become more brave. If you see, if you want to know the grassroots of the personality of the martyrs of Karbala, on the top of them, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, because they saw themselves in the presence of God. God was what they knew, that God is watching them. See, in the old days, when they wanted to motivate the soldiers to fight more and more serious, they used to bring the soldiers themselves, the warriors themselves, they used to bring their wives, daughters, sisters, families to the battlefield, stay in the back. You know, excuse the example, like sometimes for matches, girls are standing and like chanting, clapping, encouraging the players, motivating them. During the wars, they used to do something like this. But with the intention that, hey, if I lose the battle, they're going to arrest, my wife is going to be a prisoner of war. My daughter is going to be prisoner of war. So they would fight to death. Now, Iqra Warqa, the martyrs of Karbala, they didn't need to bring their families. They didn't fight because of their families. Even though they were in the tents, in fact, Imam Hussain al-Islam says, so far as I'm alive, nobody comes out of tent. But they were fighting because they were in the presence of God. Because they could see the presence of God, they were so brave. Because they were in the presence of God and they believed in reality that they're in the presence of God, they did not even feel the pain of the sword hitting them. Another characteristic, another benefit of believing that you are in the presence of God is that no matter what and how much you give, even if you give your life, your precious, most precious things, even if you give your children or all what you have in the presence, you are in the presence of God and you are giving it to God for the sake of God, still you feel so embarrassed that I have not done enough. In Irfan, we call this Haya ul Karam. Haya ul Karam, it means the generous person, the real generous is the one, a Kareem, a real generous, is the one that no matter how much he has donated or she has donated for the sake of God, still they call him and say, brother, come and get your trophy. He feels so embarrassed. He likes to hide himself. He's not proud of himself. This is called Haya ul Karam. This is a virtue. It's good to have this in really attitude. Tonight I want to introduce a lady, a heroine of Karbala to you, who really enjoyed these characteristics of Haya ul Karam. Although she gave two of her sons, some historians, they say not both of them were her biological son, put all these issues aside, whether her own son or one hers, another one her husband. The fact is that they were brought up at her bosom. They were regarded as her children, her sons, in their 20s, like any other mother, full of passion and compassion for their sons. She sacrificed her sons because she sees that Layla already has sacrificed her son, Ali al-Akbar. Umm al-Baneen has given her sacrifice and her qurbani as well, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas and his brothers. And Zainab salamullah alayha, aqilat bani Hashim, the heroine of Karbala, she says that I have to give my sacrifice as well. Ya Habibi, Ya Hussein, I love you so much and I have brought my sacrifice to the Maslakh, to Karbala with me. My boys, my sons, Aun and Muhammad. In Ziyarat al-Nahiya, Imam al-Zaman Ajjalallah Farajahu Sharif is greeting them. Assalamu ala Aun ibn Abdullah ibn Ja'far al-Tayyar. Assalamu ala Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Ja'far al-Tayyar. At-tali l-akhi. These two young boys are getting ready after Ali Akbar has been already martyred. Sayyid Zainab Salamullah alayha, she wants to offer her sacrifice willingly. لَنْتَنَالُ الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You shall never reach piety, the extreme level of piety, unless you give all what you love. And she loved her children, obviously. She goes to them combing their hairs, putting their own armors herself, the mother encouraging her sons. Send them to the brother, to their uncle, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. She's sending them to her brother Imam Hussein. Initially, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is telling his sister, Ukhti ya Zainab, maybe their father is not happy with them to come and fight because they will be killed soon. And they start begging and kissing the hand of their uncle that, Ya Abu Abdullah, Wallah, our father sent us and our father had told us that should the situation get tense, make sure that you don't forsake your uncle. Make sure that you sacrifice yourself for your uncle. And they went to the front line and they fought a bravery fight. Everyone among the warriors of Karbala was getting martyred. There was a mukhayyam, there was a tent dedicated for the martyrs. Abu Abdullah al-Hussein used to bring them back or with the help of other warriors. And Sayyid Zainab was helping also her brother, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Exceptionally here, this is why we say Zainab enjoyed Hayaul Karam. Even though she had given her sons, look at how she was embarrassed that when Imam Hussein alayhi salam is pulling, it's difficult for me to explain the situation. You imagine Aun and Muhammad after a bravery war. They were killed, not only they were killed, they were stabbed, and they say they really devoured the body of these two boys. They devoured the body similar to what I will tell you about the Qasim ibn al-Hassan. And it was so hard and difficult for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, for the uncle. Because Imam Hussein loves Zainab so much, obviously he loves the children of Zainab as well. And it was so disheartening for Abu Abdullah, pulling the bodies of Aun and Muhammad, his nephews, bring them back while they were bleeding from every corner of their body. Imam is expecting Zainab to be standing in front of the Mukhayyam Shuhada, the tent of the martyrs. But this time, exceptionally, Zainab is not seen. Zainab stayed inside her own tent, holding her then slowly and quietly she's in tears. Ya Sayyidati, Ya Aqilat Bani Hashim, Ya Zainab, why don't you go to help your brother? And perhaps she says, because I don't want my brother to be embarrassed, perhaps. I don't want my brother to see me that I've lost my sons. But one more minute, this Zainab, when she heard the last painful cry of her brother Hussein from Maghtal, crying, Hal min nasirin yansuruni, and that was, ya mawali, brothers and sisters, imagine the scene. That was the moment that all those Yazidis, all those Mongols from every corner, they are shooting and throwing all the arrows and spears to the body of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Zainab salamullah alayha, she's running towards the Maghtal. But the moment she got there, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, she saw Shamir ibn Zuljushan stepping out of the Maghtal with the holy head. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ بِجَاهِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَبِحُرْمَةِ الْفَاتِحَةَ مَعَ الصَّلَوَاتِ.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى؟ كَلَّا لَئِنْ لَمْ يَنْتَهِ لَنَسْفَعًا بِالنَّاصِيَةِ، نَاصِيَةٍ كَاذِبَةٍ خَاطِئَةٍ، فَلْيَدْعُ نَادِيَهُ، سَنَدْعُ الزَّبَانِيَةَ. كَلَّا لَا تُطِعْهُ وَاسْجُدْ وَاقْتَرِبْ.